Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. That's enough of that. It's Saturday, the 30th. Okay, now that's enough of that. 30th day of October, Anno Domini 2001, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to the Halloween-adjacent version of Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 12 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. But first, just when you thought it was safe to go back into the water, we're going to talk just a little bit more about the pledge drive. To be serious for just a moment, we want to thank each and every one of you. We made our goal. It was very close, but we made our goal. In fact, we went over our goal a little bit. So we're very, very grateful to each and every one of you who was kind and generous enough to do that. We had a small glitch in the system earlier, so I didn't get to thank anybody on the air. So I'm just going to announce the first names of everybody who pledged. Now, clearly, almost none of you who listen to the podcast pledge. So you freeloaders can just zone out for about a minute or so. And while I read the names of the people who are keeping the show on the air.
Really appreciate this show on the air and what we do every Saturday for them.
Right. I very much want to thank Susan, David, Richard, Mary, Barbara, Linda, Harvey, Don, Ralph, Neil, Fred, Paul, Rodney, Paul, John, Ken, Frank, Jeffrey, Jim, Brian, Mark, Al, David, Lawrence, Brad, Diana, Patricia, Patrick, Janet, Larry, Dwayne, Greg, Stephen, Betty, Robert, Joseph, Jeffrey, Alan, Shelley, Michael, Marcia, Leon, Linda, Bob, Lawrence. Linda and Bob are two different people. It's not Linda, Bob. Just so you... Okay.
Didn't know we were that far south.
Exactly. Kathleen, we go everywhere. Kathleen, Gerald, Andrew, William, Edward, Richard, Charles, Susan, Richard. That's two Richards, not Richard. Roger. Kathy. Roger. Kathy, Veronica, Betty, a name I cannot pronounce. And then Purnima, Martin, Anne, Marie, David, Thomas, Edward, Val, Daniel, Brian, Christine, Robert, Thomas, Gordon, Dolores, William, Jerry, David, Daniel, Michael, George, Stephen, Jack, Kevin, Philip, Nick, and Jim. Thanks to each and every one of you. We are humbled and honored that you took the time and made the effort and were generous enough to keep this show and this station on the air. It is because of all of those people that we will continue to do Sound Bites for another 6 months, and we thank each and every one of them from the bottom of our hearts.
Can't thank them enough. I mean, they really appreciate, you know, that's so nice that they say thank you that way, because that's about the only true way you can do it is by supporting us.
That's right.
And, you know, it shows that you care that much, and that's why we care so much about the show and come every Saturday. You know, like I've said constantly year after year, you know, right in the middle of a Saturday, you guys are home, you know, taking it easy. It's rainy. It's junk. You know, don't want to go out and that. You can kick back. Just turn on Sound Bites and we're there for you to answer your computer questions.
Exactly right. All right. And while you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll free at 1-800-790-0415. I will read the week's news, or at least one of the week's news stories. After weeks of intensive scrutiny brought on after whistleblower leaked thousands of internal research documents and memos to regulators, lawmakers, and the press, Facebook wants to look forward to the future. And it is taking on a new name to emphasize that. Facebook is renaming itself Meta. The name was coined by, which stands for Metaverse, a name that was coined by Neal Stephenson in his 1992 science fiction novel Snow Crash. It's a tech concept that describes a network of augmented and virtual reality hubs accessed on smartphones and with visors, and desktops too. To Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook's CEO, the future of technology is about digital worlds where you can interact with one another. These worlds, which he calls the metaverse, will allow for new types of art, music, entertainment, and business. And the company said it will be built responsibly with privacy and interoperability in mind. Pause for laughter. Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to read that part.
Well, you know, when I read this news article that you sent to me, and the only thing that could come to my mind is the old saying my grandfather used to say is, you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig.
That's exactly right. Facebook's metaverse efforts are still in their infancy, and as part of them, the company announced a series of software tools, including technology that lets people control programs with their voice or hands. Facebook is also expanding its hardware offerings. Here's pretty much everything Facebook announced during its Connect conference. A new virtual reality headset named Cambria will come out this year. The current Oculus Quest VR headset will pivot toward work-related stuff, since it was a total failure in the entertainment market. And new AR glasses, augmented reality glasses, will be developed. Remember Google Glass? Yeah.
Vaguely.
Didn't work for Google, so Facebook's going to try it. The metaverse is nothing new. There have been attempts for decades to create virtual reality spaces. Second Life was among the most successful, and that didn't fare terribly well either. But I'm sure every human on the planet will rush to buy Meta's new overpriced VR headsets so they can argue with strangers over the internet face-to-face instead of in text. Since it's a new parent company, honestly, I think they should have called it Mother Zucker.
Yeah.
Facebook. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Facebook is now Meta. And the choices are, this changes everything. New bottles, old wine, Meta, face what now, and of course, others. So far, we have 25 votes, and new bottles, old wine is just ahead of Meta. Nobody thinks it changes everything. Nobody.
No, it's just sort of like when they changed and folks, you know, the 590-490 intersection.
Yeah,
they try to label it as that. No, everybody still remembers it as the can of worms.
It's the can of worms, no matter what you say.
Yeah, so even with
no
this,
you how can, long ago it was. It's like 20 years ago now, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's just also like the hospital. I always refer to it as Northside.
Right.
And they changed their name decades ago.
Yep. Yep.
But, you know, it gets stuck with a label, and it's going to be the same with this. Facebook is Facebook is Facebook.
Yep, that's absolutely right. At any rate, if you have more to say about this, you can head on over again to soundbites.org. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. You'll see the forum. Second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least the number one item under poll discussion is 30 October 21. Facebook is now Meta. And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415.
How did we do in last week's poll, though, the total numbers? You were really pushing that one.
Yeah, well, not so many. Not a lot.
Really?
People are not voting in the polls.
Excuse me.
Oh. Who knows? But people are not voting in the polls significantly.
Yeah. For a time you know, like every week we were getting 200 votes. And then
Yeah, last week we only got 57.
Okay.
But it dropped precipitously, and I don't really know why, but oh well. At any rate, we Meta is the new thing, as our Chandra points out in the forum, it's a lot like Google rebranding itself as Alphabet. Well, Alphabet is the parent company; Google is one of the sub companies, and exactly the same way, Meta will be the top level parent company, Facebook and Instagram.
It's
and
still not going to change
WhatsApp.
Anything.
Right,
I mean, it's still going to be.
Right.
You know,
So he's absolutely right. It's old wine, new bottles. It's just the way
they're just trying to play the shell game. You know, shuffle it around, and it's still, you know.
Well, it's like Enron got into so much trouble, and they just changed their name.
Yeah,
you know. So it's the same idea. You get in trouble, you change your name,
and hopefully people will forget.
Exactly.
But that's the problem, though. Now we've got the internet, and it's
stuff doesn't go away. And Facebook ought to know that, since they're the ones who are perpetuating many things.
And, you know, like I say, this is what we've told folks for decades. You put something up on the internet, and it's there forever. Because all it takes is somebody else to share it over to this area, over to here, and over to there. And it can go worldwide.
And you can always go to the Wayback Machine and find dang near anything.
And it's not going to, you know, you just can't demand that it goes down. Especially in third world countries. They're going to say, you want a what?
Exactly.
Good exactly. luck with that.
All right, to the phones. Our first caller patiently waiting on the line is Dan from Rochester, New York. Hi, Dan. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Okay, today's question. I'm trying to rescue data from a drive that says it's failing, and I'm using Ubuntu graphic mode, and I keep getting errors. Is there an xcopy type command that will copy everything from a folder, errors and all, just to get it off of the failing drive and onto something else?
Well, yes and no. Every command under most operating systems relies on the drive being okay. So you will still run into errors, but you can use the CP command, CP star will copy everything. You can use rsync, but again, neither one of those is necessarily going to ignore a drive with errors.
Would SpinRite work on a drive like that, even though it's got Ubuntu?
It would yes. So SpinRite is a commercial data recovery program that will scan all the blocks. It will run on an Intel PC. It has its own DOS built in.
So it doesn't matter what the drive is.
It doesn't matter what OS is on it, and it doesn't matter what file system is on.
Especially if he's just trying to get the data off from, you know, one drive over to the other, I would think.
Well, SpinRite doesn't do that. SpinRite corrects the drive.
Right, that's what I'm saying, though.
Is a copy.
You start there with SpinRite to get it corrected. Then you can use those other commands that you were talking about so that when he goes to execute those commands, it won't, you know, choke at them and, you know, constantly give them errors.
Right. Unfortunately, there's nothing that will ignore errors.
No. They're going to constantly stop.
I don't know if the errors I'm getting are actual sector corruption or it's just choking on maybe some file names.
Yeah, but
Ubuntu has 64 characters for file names, so you'd have to be going a long way to get a file name error.
Mm, it's possible in this case.
Okay, well, in that case, there's dang near nothing that can be done. If they've named it more than 64 characters, any one file, it is what it is. You can rename the file, I suppose.
But will it, though?
I don't know if it's the file name that's 64 or when you have like user slash folder name slash
right
folder
so
name.
You can go into that folder and just CP the files themselves over to say the other drive slash temp and hopefully that'll be less than 64 characters.
Okay, and CP, is that SUDO command? Or?
You could use sudo if you need sudo, sorry, if you need to, but CP is just the copy command, as rsync is just a copy command, but rsync would be overkill in this case. So CP is the copy command, and it will copy files, and it works just like copy does. So you say copy, say, star, and then the destination, and you're on your way.
Okay. And is that executed from a terminal window?
Yes. And that way you avoid all the long file name nonsense.
All right. I'll give that a shot. Next question quickly. Is Master Lounge happening tomorrow?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
We will be having every, for the rest of you, every Sunday night. At 9 o'clock, if you go to soundbites.org/lounge, you'll see a link at 9 o'clock. You'll see a link to our video chat, courtesy of the folks at Mastermind Lounge. Very nice of them to give us that that space. And we will be answering your questions and talking about whatever we feel like talking about, and just having a grand old time for ourselves every night at every Sunday night. Not every night. Every Sunday night at 9 o'clock.
I'll be there. I'll bring some candy.
Perfect. Thanks. Oh, wait. No, you're right. Wait, tomorrow's Halloween. That's why you were asking. No, we will not be meeting tomorrow night. Thank you for reminding me. There will be no lounge meeting tomorrow night because it's Halloween. And people theoretically will be
busy with kids.
Busy with kids.
Oh, it's long after dark, though.
It is long after dark, but
yeah, after 9 o'clock,
we'll be
yeah.
recovering from.
We'll be busy recovering. With kids. We'll be raiding our kids' bags and taking the candy we think they won't like.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll hate Reese's peanut butter cups. I'll take those. Yeah, you're right. No lounge tomorrow night. Thank you for reminding me.
Okay. Under the category of irony,
yeah,
the Radio Hall of Fame just had their annual induction.
Yep.
It was not broadcast on any radio station.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
If enough listeners like me get it together and nominate Soundbites for some award, like longevity and helpfulness to the community, maybe you guys will get recognized the way you deserve.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate that. Thanks.
And the last thing I want to say is it's not too late to donate to the radio station.
You're absolutely right. Just because the drive is over doesn't mean you have to keep your hands in your pockets. Donate today. Donate now. Jazz901.org. Click that Donate Now button. Thanks, Dan.
And thank you.
And we got to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here in the truly great and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member supported. Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, and we have Larry from Rochester, New York, on the line. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. I'm sitting here with my two Macs trying to transfer information from the old Mac to the new Mac. I went through the migration assistant, and at the point of actually transferring data, it asked me for passwords. And made it make sure you have a secure password. And I'm wondering, why do I need a password once I've pushed all the buttons and done all the calculations on the in size of the information to bring to my my new Mac? Why do I need a password for everything, such as I think one of them was network and systems information, then another one was information, et cetera, et cetera. Why do I need a password?
You need a password for your user account. That's the only password it should ask for.
Or if it's attempting to connect to the network, it will want your network password.
Well, yeah, if you're doing a network transfer, then you have to connect to the network first so it can find the source drive to copy from. But if you're connected,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
See, if you're connected over the wire, then it won't need your network password.
Okay. Well, it didn't ask for a network and password. It is connected over the wire, but it just said make sure you know set a secure password. So I'm assuming it was asking me to create a password.
If it didn't have a box to type one in, it was just a reminder.
Well, no, during the migration assistant, it asks you to create a password for your administrator account. You can use the same password you had on the old computer if you want to, or you can make a new password for the new computer.
Okay, so is this the same password that you would, I got you, for your administrator account?
Right, the administrator password, yes. Then after you complete the migration and it logs in, it may then ask for your Apple ID password, your Gmail password, your Facebook password, the other passwords it may ask for. You may want to turn on keychain password syncing so that on the old computer it will push all your passwords up to the cloud. So on the new computer, it can pull the new those passwords back down and you won't have to retype them all again.
Okay, but this won't affect, though, the password that I used to log in at initial turn-on, though, will it, or boot up?
This is that password. That's what it's asking for, your administrator password.
I understand now. Okay, I was a little confused, and so I just stopped and shut the whole process down, and it was just a few minutes before you guys came on the air, so I said, well, let me call and ask the experts, because it just simply wasn't clear to me at the time.
Yeah. In fact, if you have multiple users on the account, it will ask you to create a password for each user.
Okay. So I'm trying to scribble all of this down.
What's a little interesting to me is that the previous migration assistant, you needed the same password that it was on the old computer, partly to prove that it's your old computer you're transferring. But now the new migration assistant lets you make up any password you want.
Okay, so that was a little confusing, too, because I had some information, but when I got to this, it was slightly different than the information for the old systems.
Yeah, but you can make the password on the new computer be the same as it was on the old computer.
Okay. Now, one other thing. Do I need to really transfer network and preferences and things like that since my other computer is now up and running? Do I want that old stuff coming over?
Well, it will transfer all of the network settings you have for the networks you connect to. So if that computer doesn't go anywhere and connect to any different network, then you don't need to transfer those settings. But there's no harm in transferring them either.
Select them. I'm saying you can select what you want to actually transfer.
Right. Yeah, network settings is one of the options.
Okay. All right. Well, that answers my question. I guess when you guys are off the air, I'll get back at it and finish it up.
But I got a question for you.
Yes.
What station were you listening to that they had experts at?
WGMC 90 yep. Soundbites.
I'll have to tune in sometime.
Universe.
All right. Thanks.
We'll have to check them
out.
Thank
you, guys.
Bye-bye. Okay, a couple people on Facebook, Scott and Pete. Gentlemen, how are we? Yes, we had a donut. That was what we had. Don't tell Rob.
William,
did you see the live camera that Rob posted during the pledge drive?
No.
Yeah, I was watching Phil last night about midnight.
Excellent.
That live feed is offline now, but Rob could be watching it from home.
I'm sure he is. Hi, yeah. Rob.
Yeah, so suddenly we know why their security cameras showed up in the studio.
yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's head back to the phones. Our next caller is William from Hampton, Virginia. Hi, William. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's...
Hello?
Did we lose him?
You there?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
How's things up there?
You're cutting in and out, William. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to talk. Can you hear me now?
Yes. No. Nope.
Okay.
I'm sorry, William. I apologize.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm on my Bluetooth.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Okay, it's not. Let me call you back then.
Okay, perfect. Sorry about that. Bye-bye. Yeah, that's simply not going to work. I'm sorry.
Cutting out too much. We couldn't, like every other word.
Yeah, yeah. But so while William calls back, hopefully he calls back fairly immediately. But in the meantime, we'll once again thank everybody who was kind and generous enough to donate. The pledge drive is over. Thanks to all of you, we made our nut, and we're on the air for another 6 months. So thank you all. Thank you all very much. We're very pleased. We're very pleased. Thanks to all of you. And William is back. Are you there, William?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay, that's a little better.
You guys are having what I would consider some great weather up there.
It's raining.
I mean, I'd love to be at your latitude rather than down here in hot as hell Virginia.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was an actual town down there.
Yeah, we get a choice of too cold or too wet.
Yeah. So what's up, William?
Well, it's been a year now that you guys have been talking about, well, probably longer than that, but it's been a year since I've been using a distro, and it's not lost on me that those of us who choose to do so are the more nerdy and or techie among the computer literati, and in particular, I use Ubuntu. I have done so for a year. Here I was thinking I was so happy and contented being away from Windows, and then, and I think it was Friday night, I found out about Xorin, which has actually been out for about 10 years now, and it's really a very emotional moment for me because I went and I downloaded the ISO file and burned it onto DVD. But it's one of those situations where I'm like, man, just when I thought I was so happy, here they come along with another distro, which is Windows-like in its form and even its functionality. But because it's Debian-based, it's still treats everything like the file.
Right.
And so, like I said, it's an emotional moment for me because I've already started, you know, packing up, so to speak, and I'm compressing my files so I can back them up and everything, and so that I can get the deed done overnight tonight. So I was just curious, what are your guys' observation about Xorin? What do you know about it, and you know, what are your thoughts about Xorin?
I just downloaded Xorin this week and stuck it on a VM to play with. So far, I like it. It's so far, at least, it's not going to take me off Xubuntu, but I do like it. Xorin is for the rest of you, Xorin is one of the many Linux distributions that's out there. You can find out more about it at Xorin.com. It's an alternative operating system, as so many are, and it looks pretty nice. And like you said, I've just installed it,
and it looks very similar to Windows. So
yes,
if you're used to Windows, it won't be that big of a change,
right? But yeah, right. It's a pretty cool thing. It looks very much like Windows, and as Steve said, that means that for general people who are looking to move off of Windows but not make too jarring or drastic a change, Xorin is a good alternative. And it is based on Debian, so it's rock solid and all of that. Like I said, I just started playing with it, but it seems to be pretty doggone okay.
Well, the deal maker for me is that it seems to have larger and more diverse repositories to pick from. That's really been the only issue I've had Ubuntu so far that sometimes I want something and I find it difficult to get, you know, a Linux equivalent for something I've seen in Windows.
Right. No, yeah. I get it. I haven't played a lot with what's in the repositories yet, like I said. But it's so far it's been fast. It's been productive. It looks pretty good.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to briefly mention was that I still haven't gotten a Raspberry Pi yet, even though I've been saying I'm going to. And but it's only just now that I figured out that, you know, it's really the successor to the electronics projects that folks did in the 70s and 80s.
But mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
I figured out that the reason that I want to do it is because I've been challenged as far as learning how to program in Python, and I think that this would be really helpful for me to do.
Right.
Yeah.
I do a lot of Python programming on my Raspberry Pi because it's easy to be fearless on a Pi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the first thing I did was once I got it up and running, I took out the little micro SD card and made a duplicate of it and put it away. So if I ever do utterly screw up the system, all I have to do is replace that drive and I'm done. Yeah. But like I said, it's easy to use. It's fun.
Yeah.
It
challenges your mind to explore other things because, you know, if you mess something up, it's really not the end of the world. You know, you just erase it, start again. No big deal. You know,
yeah,
I mean, it's
right.
And you've learned from it. Like the old days.
I think this will really help me towards my A-plus certification as well.
There you go.
Yes, it probably will. I suspect it will. You should also know that although you should probably start with Raspberry Pi OS just to get a feel for all the various features and stuff like that, apparently Zorin will run on a Raspberry Pi.
Oh, cool.
The 4 or the 100. Mm-hmm. The 400.
Yeah, I think I read that somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
Well, thank you very much, fellas.
Hey, have a good time with it, and let us know how you make out with it.
Absolutely.
All right.
Enjoy your day.
You too.
All right, you too. Thanks, William.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, the Raspberry Pi, as we've said many, many times, can use multiple operating systems, and many of them are available directly through the download installer. But you can also pretty much put any operating system you like on it. It's basically just if there's an ARM-based version of that operating system, you can install it. And I would, as I've said before, I suggest a 4 or a 400 in terms of just speed and elbow room.
Having enough
oomph. Yeah. I would encourage everybody to take a look at the Raspberry Pi for various stuff. And we'll go back to the phones and talk to Tom from Brighton, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. So I guess I'm the beneficiary of owning some obsolete technology. I've owned an iPhone 5S for quite some time, and I got notified by AT&T, who is our carrier, that they're not going to be supporting 3G anymore, which I guess is what the 5S is based on. So they sent me a free iPhone, an XR, which I guess I should be grateful for, right? But I find it very large. It's got a great screen.
That was the point of the 10. It was much larger, yes.
Yeah.
And your iPhone 5 supports 4G just as well. So there was... Just because they stopped supporting 4G or 3G doesn't mean the phone's going to quit working.
Right.
Yeah. So why did they send me this nice new phone?
They assume people want bigger phones.
Okay.
If you like the smaller size, there's the SE, which is basically the iPhone 11, in the 4.7-inch size. I should look at the camera, not you.
Yeah, you should.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, the SE is basically 11, but the smaller size, the 4.7-inch. Because the other phones are 5.1, 5.7, 6.1. They get bigger and bigger and bigger. And there are a class of people that like those really big phones for watching movies.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like the other scam right now. You're seeing it on TV all the time where they're saying, oh, we'll upgrade you to this free phone. We're giving everybody a free phone, and it comes with 5G. What you don't understand is, yes, that 5G is going to cost you more.
Yeah, the larger carriers are charging extra for their 5G phones and extra for 5G service.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, like they say, there's no free lunch, and it's going to be something.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, they have the SE, which is a bit smaller. They also have the i12 Mini, the 12 Mini, and also the 13 Mini, which are a little bit larger, I think, than the SE. Is that correct?
Yes, but smaller than the 10.
But I'm wondering if, can I just go back to AT&T and say, look, thanks, but no thanks for the XR. Can I have instead, let's say, a 12 Mini or even a 13 Mini? I'll have to pay some difference for that.
Yeah, that's probably why the iPhone, the XR they sent you was either free or included in your contract. For a different phone, you probably have to pay a little extra.
Okay. Now, we have a pretty good rate. We have four lines that we're subscribed to. I'm the only one who has the older iPhone. But I'm wondering, will there be an increase in our monthly rate it shouldn't depend on what phone I have. It's right. It's how much data you use and things like that.
Well, that all depends on the carrier. And some carriers do say that, you know, say the iPhone 7, you can't get on this plan. You have to have an iPhone 11 to use this plan. Even though there's no technical reason for that, it's a marketing reason from AT&T.
Okay. So I'll have to call AT&T or go to the store and find
out. Yeah, unfortunately, you will.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, as they say, you know, large phones are great if you're looking at movies and things like that, but I don't look at movies on phones. I look at movies on either TV or on my computer, on a large screen computer. I know someone whose only computer is a phone.
Yep. Right. And I know several people who are like that.
And that's one reason they like the big screens, yeah. Now, the 12 Mini and the 13 Mini are physically smaller than the SE. But they have bigger screens. The SE is a 4.7-inch screen, and the Minis are 5.4-inch, because they have less of a bezel around them. So you do get a slightly bigger screen in a physically smaller package.
Yeah.
But the 12 Mini is $200 more than the SE. So there's the difference between them.
Yeah.
The other thing too is the colors. The 11 and the 12 come in purple. So my wife wants a purple phone. And
good for her.
I like black, okay? So that's I'm like Henry Ford, you know? Black is just fine.
Right, exactly.
Okay, guys, you've been helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Tom. Bye-bye. Yeah.
And they don't often keep the same colors year to year. So the 13 doesn't come in purple anymore, but it comes in a different blue. So the 12 had kind of a darker blue, and the 13 is a little bit lighter blue. It's like what you always say about fins. You know, you got to know, you know, I've got big fins and then small fins. You got to know what year it is. So how's anyone going to know I have a new phone if it's the same color as the old one?
Yep. It's exactly right. That's going to be an issue. What was it? From the 12 to the whatever model it was, it looked exactly like the previous model. People were actually angry.
Yeah.
It was quite amazing. So
from the 12, the cameras on the back are vertical, and on the 13, they're diagonal.
Oh, that's how you tell.
Yes. They're still two cameras, but they look different.
They look different, and that's the important part.
Yeah.
So you put it in your pocket with the camera sticking out, and somebody knows you've got the newer phone.
Yeah.
But that's not the new phone anymore.
13 is the new phone, yeah.
Oh, 13 is the new phone, okay.
With the three lenses?
The 13 Pro has the three lenses.
Right.
Which are still in the
circular
triangle. That's the
triangle.
Word I'm looking
for.
Triangular.
Yeah. Peace to you too.
Yeah. So the 12 Pro and the 13 Pro look identical from the back because they both have the three cameras in the same orientation.
Oh, my goodness. What a mistake that was on Apple's part.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like I say, though, that was the biggest thing that got me right now is all these advertisements about, oh, we'll upgrade you. You know, everybody's going to get a free phone. You know, and it's like.
And then you look at the tiny print at the bottom of the screen that's only there for 2 seconds. And
yeah. And they don't tell you, you know, oh, you know, what you're going to have to pay in charges to have 5G.
Yeah, subject to this new plan, subject to...
There is no free lunch, folks.
Yeah. Well, and also you only get a gig of 5G and then it drops down to 4G on some plans.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine found that out because he ran a speed test
mm-hmm.
on his new 5G, which downloads a gigabyte of data and used up all his 5G for the month. On the speed test.
He was lucky enough to be in an area that actually had 5G?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too. I mean, it's so scattered.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Most people don't even have 5G at this point. And you know, what... I don't know. Whatever,
well, that's the other thing, though. I mean, here, the, you know, they're touting to go in with the 5G. But it also means, folks, and you can't get ticked off with, is now all of a sudden they want to put up more cell towers all over the place. Because 5G is line of sight.
Right.
So if you want 5G service in your area, you might have to put up with a tower in your backyard. And, you know, oh, that's the way life goes.
Right. Exactly right. So too bad. That is 5G. That is what it is. And so you're there whatever you want. All right. That music tells us that we are done with the first hour of this show. But do not go too far, because after a few more minutes, we're going to come back with a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites. We'll have more of Dave Enright, more of Steve Ray, way too much of me, Nick Francesco, and not enough of each and every one of you. So be sure to give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And again, let me thank each and every one of you who was kind and generous enough to make sure that we will be on the air for the next 6 months. Thanks to all of you who donated, who pledged, who kept us on the air. We'll be back in just a few more minutes with a whole lot more sound bites on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on member supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 8 minutes after the hour, we're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. So Google has released an update for the Chrome web browser to fix 7 high-severity vulnerabilities in its popular web browser, 2 of which are being actively exploited in the wild. Both of the exploited vulnerabilities were caught by Google researchers. Since the bugs are being actively exploited, we suggest that you shut down and then reopen your Chrome browser to pull in the new release or update it manually. You should do this also for your Chromebooks, by the way. Since the vulnerabilities are still being exploited, in order to prevent further abuse, Google hasn't yet shared details about the 0 days or how they are being exploited. However, Google security researchers do usually share details about the exploit once the threat has passed. Importantly, though, with these latest rounds of fixes, Google has patched 15 Chrome zero-day vulnerabilities since the beginning of 2021, many of which were being actively exploited in the wild, clearly indicating that Chrome has become one of the favorite targets of threat actors. To mitigate that, though, Google is among the best and fastest updaters when vulnerabilities are found. So have you updated yet? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
There was an interesting episode of Security Now a few weeks ago that Steve called Microsoft's culpable negligence. They talked about, in that patch Tuesday, there was like 50 vulnerabilities fixed. And one of them that was not fixed, and they said, this isn't fixed yet, we're still working on it. The guy who found and disclosed that vulnerability to Microsoft said said that he disclosed that vulnerability 8 months ago. And they haven't fixed it yet.
Yep.
Why not? Microsoft has $100 billion in cash. Hire somebody else if they need to.
Yeah, right.
But so it seems that until a vulnerability is being exploited, they don't bother fixing it. And sometimes even their own. There was the Exchange vulnerability that was out for 6 months before it got discovered. Because it was, the bad guys were exploiting it. As soon as it got discovered, then it became a priority, and they started patching it. No one gets any penalty for not fixing problems.
Right.
And massive security breaches and data is lost, and even Microsoft's own customers running into the vulnerabilities with the Exchange server, it's unlikely that Microsoft lost any business. Because of it. And so there's no penalty for not doing it. And
massive amounts of red tape to do it.
To do it, right. And so why bother doing it until you really, really have to?
Right.
But they have to.
Yep.
So when Google comes along and finds a bug and they fix it in a week, that's how you're supposed to do it.
If that long.
Yeah.
I mean, they're usually right on top of stuff, you know. And
well, Google is right on top of it.
Yeah.
Microsoft doesn't care.
No, they don't. I mean, look, they're still patching patches from 9 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're still not correct.
There's just, as Steve said, essentially, there's no penalty.
Yeah. And this one
for not doing it until it becomes public.
Yeah. And this one was another print vulnerability. That can be turned into escalation privilege to run arbitrary programs. Why can a print vulnerability have access to the whole computer?
And you know why that is? Ring zero.
Yeah.
There are multiple, they call them rings, areas in a processor that do certain things. Ring zero is the fastest.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of Microsoft's code runs in ring zero. In order to make the system as fast as possible. The problem with Ring Zero is that it is entirely unsecure. It is privileged. It is able to do anything. Stuff running in Ring Zero is considered privileged and can do anything. So if you run your print stuff in Ring Zero, and it says, hi, this is the printer. I'd like you to erase the hard drive.
It will do it.
The operating system will say, okay, you're privileged. Here we go. Yep. Oh.
You're like in God mode.
Well, and that's left over because 40 years ago, chips were slow.
Chips were slow.
And Microsoft's code base hasn't changed that much.
It really hasn't. Don't forget, the heart of the Windows code, even today, is still NT. New technology. When did that come out? Think about it. And that's still the underlying technology in Windows. You really have to understand that Microsoft is not particularly interested in putting out the best operating system.
Oh, we just missed the birthday. It was July 27th, 1993.
Of NT?
Yeah. Yep. And because they're stuck with backward compatibility, they can't rewrite the OS and make it better.
Right. Right.
Because heaven forbid our millions of corporate customers have to buy new computers.
Well, and that's, you know, one thing you've got to say for Apple, they've always had the guts to at some point say, you know what?
Cut, sever the ties, and just, you got to move on.
We're done.
This is a 7, 8, 10-year-old computer. I'm sorry. It won't run the newest OS.
Well, right. Or alternately, we're changing the architecture.
Yep.
And if you want to keep running the old stuff, you're on your own. Bye-bye.
Yep. Keep your old machine to run your old stuff.
You may not like it, but the idea is to keep the system as new and current and great as possible.
But at least every time they've done that, and Apple has gone through 4 major architecture changes in their life, every 10 years it seems, that they've had some sort of bridge, Rosetta 2 now, where you can run your old Intel software on the Apple Silicon chip. For the most part, almost everything runs without realizing it, and it's a lot faster than it was on Intel. And so there's always that couple, 3 years where there's an overlap where it'll run both the old stuff and the new stuff.
Right.
We still run into customers that wait 10 years before they upgrade, and now suddenly their Office 2004 doesn't work. Well, yeah, that quit working about 8 years ago.
Yep.
Well, that's what's causing a lot of folks right now that I've talked to a number of folks that don't want to go to Windows 11.
Yeah.
They go, Windows 10, it seems like every month I'm coming out and they've got to update this and they got to update. And now they want me to upgrade to another operating system that nobody knows anything about it and it hasn't had much publicity.
Same thing on Apple. Monterey just came out last week, OS 12, because Microsoft's at 11 now.
Right.
We're not recommending it yet because we don't know anything about it yet. It's probably okay if you're running the latest and greatest of all everybody's software.
Right.
But if you have a couple-year-old program, it just may not work right.
Thursday at market, I had 3 separate people walking by ask me, when is Windows 11 coming out? My answer was, they're rolling it out slowly. It'll get to you when it gets to you. But what I really wanted to say was, why do you care?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
okay. It's new and shiny.
The thing of it is, though, is, and a lot of folks don't understand, is in any of the commercials that you see on TV for it, it's touting that, they're running the latest and greatest laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And, with the graphics and the higher memory and everything else. So your 5-6-year-old machine
ain't gonna
cut it, folks. And you're going to be... If you're disappointed now with Windows 10, you're going to be thoroughly ticked off with 11.
And we already got a call a week or two ago about someone whose computer said, hey, you should get Windows 11. And he said, no, I don't want Windows 11.
Right.
So some people are already getting offered Windows 11. And hopefully they won't make the same mistake they did with 10 and just pre-install it anyway without your knowledge. Or when you keep clicking the no on do you want Windows 10 and it does it anyway.
Right. Well, there have been rumors, at least, that Windows 11 is doing the same thing. The other thing about Windows 11 is it's got a whole new user interface. And we remember the problems, the uproar at Windows 8 with a new user interface. People are going to be angry when they do the upgrade and all of a sudden, it doesn't look like Windows 10 anymore. How do I go back?
That was your notice of the lounge.
Oh, yeah, we're not having the lounge this week. No lounge. Because it's Halloween. You
so here's an article on Tom's Hardware. How to make Windows 11 look and feel like Windows 10.
Yeah.
It's
a long article, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is, this is something you need to know. Pay attention. If you do get Windows 11 and you don't like it, listen carefully. You only have 10 days from your date of install to go back. So you'd better spend those 10 days making sure all your programs work. Because after 10 days, if you want to go back to Windows 10, you'll have to wipe out Windows 11 and reformat the hard drive.
Let's start
and
from
put
scratch.
10 on it from a CD. Do you have a CD of Windows 10? Then maybe you should take those 10 days to do some testing.
I'd still say don't. I mean, it was offered on my wife's computer. I sat there and said, nope, I'm deferring not to go for it. Don't bother asking me.
Yeah. A lot of people wait until they get a new computer that already has it on it, but they only get a new computer every 10 years. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's going to they're raising the bar on 11 because, like you said, eventually they want to go cloud based.
That's exactly right.
And now with everybody doing the movies and everything else on their computers, you know, you got to have a bigger, better, faster machine.
That will probably work out better in the long run for both users and Microsoft, is that if the OS is in the cloud, they can keep all the updates themselves.
And they can run it on the latest hardware.
And the latest hardware. And so you just worry about your documents.
The thing is, you better have a fast internet connection if you want to do movies and audio and
all
of that stuff, because you're going to be loading it up to the cloud. And, oh, did you pay for enough RAM to edit audio and video? If not, too bad.
Yep. We just ran into a problem this week. Customer bought Office 2021, is out now.
Yep.
And we install it. We activate it. Everything goes fine. And then the next time you launch Word, it hangs. And I can see the little activate icon showed back up again with a spinny thing next to it.
Interesting.
It's looking for the activation server to make sure you're activated. And it just hangs and hangs and hangs and hangs and hangs and hangs. And so we had to give up and go back to 2016 and wait for them to fix 2021.
Yeah. I've seen that over the years with many companies have activation servers for various reasons. Basically, what happens is when you install a piece of software, it goes out and checks a server to see if you have a license for it.
It assumes you don't, and you're stealing it.
Right. The assumption is you're a thief and a lousy human being, and only until when you prove otherwise that you are allowed to run the software. Now, that happens a lot in businesses, and that makes sense because you will buy X number of licenses. So we had a package, a statistical package that was like $5,000 or $6,000 a seat. So we bought X number of seats.
Seats, yeah.
And a server that said you have X number of seats. So if Y number of people tried to log in, they couldn't until somebody else logged off.
It had to be released.
Right.
Because it's like a counter.
Right. And so that's okay. I get that. But, you know, when it's something like Microsoft's newest operating system and you have indeed paid for it, you should be able to run it.
Yep.
Without having to go somewhere else for whatever reason.
But if it can't find the activation server, it won't let you run it.
You can't run it. Too bad for you.
You're all dressed up. No place to go.
That's exactly right. So
we've even tried installing it on another computer, and it said, no, you can't. It's already activated. So we know the activation works.
Yeah. We got confused.
But it just couldn't talk to the activation server. And Microsoft's status update says the server's running fine. It didn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, it's Microsoft.
It's Microsoft. Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Whether they're supporting it this week or not. And that's why, you know, I have so little faith in Microsoft. I'm loving the Raspberry Pis that I can play around with those and do so much with those. And, you know, and the Chromebooks and that, and slowly getting away from everything else.
I will say this one thing for Windows 10, however.
Sound right, your name?
At my wife's workplace this week, they changed their internet service provider.
What was your name?
And consequently, she lost her wired connection.
Hold on.
Needed to go wireless because they put the modem in another area to more centrally locate it for the whole building. And that's fair. But she lost her wired connection. So she had to go wireless. She's on a desktop. So she got a thing, and I went to help her install it because everybody else is out of town. And because it was Windows 10, it honestly just installed. I plugged it in, pushed the machine back, looked up at the thing, and it was already installed, ready to go, waiting for the password.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
When it works, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But when it doesn't work, you'll never know how.
Yeah,
exactly right.
You'll never know why. It won't fix.
All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Sam from West Henrietta, New York. Hi, Sam. What's up?
My phone call. I'm on the bottom right-hand corner of my computer screen. I keep getting pop-ups, and I can't get rid of them. They're little rectangular pop-ups, different information.
Can you tell me what operating system you're running?
10.
Okay. The pop-ups, yes, there are pop-ups that for all kinds of things. Um, uh,
It's because Microsoft knows best.
Yeah, Microsoft knows best.
I'm trying to find what they call it. It's basically advertisements that Microsoft is pushing to your computer.
Yeah, they're basic. Most of them are ads. There are two places. There's Microsoft Edge. So they come in the web browser. You choose settings from there, and inside settings, you can turn on block pop-ups. As for the File Explorer ads, you open up any File Explorer window, any folder window, click on the View tab, select Options, and then change folder and search options, and then in there on the View tab, you notice we're not even there yet. Yeah. Then down to Advanced Settings.
I'm finding an article to go through it all.
Yeah, and then clear the Show Sync Provider Notifications. And then for the lock screen ads, because you can get ads on the on the lock screen, under Settings, you go to Personalization, choose Lock Screen, and under Picture or Slideshow, you turn off Get Fun Facts, Tips, and More from Windows and Cortana on your lock screen.
Yeah, that's what they call it, Fun Facts and Tips.
Fun Facts and Tips.
It's not ads.
No, they're not ads. They're fun facts. Fun fact is you can buy this for X dollars.
Yeah.
And then there are the notifications in the little corner. So again, you go into Start and Settings, and then select System, Notifications and Actions. Turn off, you're going to love this one, Show Me the Windows Welcome Experience After Updates, and occasionally when I sign in to highlight what's new and suggested.
Really?
Yeah.
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 And then there is the Start menu. And see, you thought we were done. Silly, silly boy.
Yeah.
The Start Stop menu ads. Again, under Settings, Personalization, click Start in the left panel. Disable Show Suggestions Occasionally and Start. I think that's it.
I posted a link to an article from PC Magazine on how to find all of these.
Yeah. So best bet is to go to our website at soundbites.org and click on that article, because you're never going to remember everything I just told you. There's four or five places. There's five, what, five, did I say, places?
Yeah. And the thing is, because the computer's showing it occasionally, right?
Right.
But it's working at 2 billion operations per second.
Right.
So occasionally for it is, you know, every second, because that's only one in 2 billion things.
What about the uBlock Origin? I keep popping up.
uBlock Origin is a program that runs inside your browser that blocks pop-up. It blocks ads on a web page, which is an entirely separate set of ads.
Gotcha. All right. Okay.
I love uBlock Origin. I use it for everything. I'm on a page right now that's blocking seven ads.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me try that, gentlemen. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good luck.
Yep. Thank you.
But that's the way it works here. When you have Windows, you have a million different places where you can get ads. It's just the way things work. I can't figure out how many people are on the Facebook page. You may be able to see it. I cannot.
It says 20 on YouTube.
Yeah, I can see there's two on Twitch and 20 on YouTube. But I can't see how many are on Facebook, at least not from where I am right now. So that's how that works. But yeah, if you're getting ads, well, you know, Microsoft doesn't have enough money. You have to sympathize with them. They do not have enough money. They need to be able to make more money. So they will show you ads, and they will get paid to show you those ads. You can turn them off manually, but there's five different places that you have to turn them off to get rid of all of them. So if you value your personal space, it's going to take you a little work to do that. That's another reason I love Linux, because you don't have ads. And I don't believe there are ads in Mac OS.
Not in the OS, no. Web browser.
Web browsers and stuff. Like, you're going to get those anyway. Yep. Those have nothing to do with anything else. Yeah. Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You are listening to Soundbites. On the truly great and truly grateful to you, we can continue to be member-supported. Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
Still.
So speaking of Windows 11, Microsoft is now rolling out Windows 11, the upgrade, to more eligible Windows devices as part of a phased rollout designed to deliver a smooth upgrade experience. Pause for laughter. The availability of Windows 11 has been increased, and we are leveraging our latest generation machine learning model to offer the upgrade to an expanded set of eligible devices, Microsoft said in an update to the Windows Health dashboard. We recommend that you upgrade your devices to Windows 11 to take advantage of the latest features and advanced protections from security threats. According to previously available information, the company estimates that all eligible Windows 10 devices will be offered the upgrade to the latest version by mid-2022. Windows 10 users can upgrade to Windows 11 via Windows Update as long as their computer comes with compatible hardware. To install Windows 11 on eligible devices, they also need to run the Windows 10 2004 and later and have installed at least the September 2021 updates. Customers using Windows 10 can also determine if their devices are eligible for Windows 11 upgrade using the PC Health Check application. PC Health Check is a diagnostic tool Microsoft created and released and then took off and then put back again to analyze devices' hardware and check if they're compatible.
Like you're going to trust them to analyze your machine when the only thing they care about is pushing out more product and the heck with your machine.
Right. Microsoft did begin forcing installing PC Health Check on Windows 10 devices last Friday using the KB5005463 update. It said that customers who do not want PC Health Check on their systems can uninstall it using the Settings app. However, multiple people have reported that they had to uninstall the app numerous times since it kept reinstalling automatically on every new update check. So what are your thoughts on Windows 11? Be polite, but give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
That is a big joke.
Microsoft is working carefully toward the idea of cloud-based computing. That's not necessarily a bad thing in and of itself. Forcing you to do it is not necessarily a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And it does have some pretty interesting hardware requirements that some people may not understand.
Windows 11.
You need to have UEFI Secure Boot and Trusted Platform 2.0.
I guarantee you, most folks don't even know what the heck that is.
They don't know what that means, and they probably don't have it.
That's right. If your machine is several years old, you may not have that stuff.
Yeah.
It's 5 or more years old, I guarantee you don't have that stuff.
That's one of the things that the PC health check looks for.
Right.
But, yeah, so your computer might not even be capable of it. I hope, I can see, you'll still get the ads to upgrade to Windows 11, and then it will do all the download. It will start to install and say, oh, you don't qualify.
Yeah, that's pretty much how that works.
Instead of just knowing ahead of time that it won't work, it will try anyway.
Right. And then you'll find that as with every version of Windows, they underestimate what you need to run it.
Yeah.
So Microsoft says you need at least a 1 gigahertz processor with 2 cores. So you better have at least a 2 gigahertz processor with four cores.
Yep. Double everything they say.
It says you need at least 4 gigs of RAM. That means if you want a decent experience, 8 gig. That's simply the truth.
And if you want to run anything besides Windows.
Right. That's if you're running just Windows.
Well, that's why I say if you want, you know, they're more worried about pushing out product. Rightfully so, because they're a company trying to make money. And they're really not, if you sit there and tell them, well, I got this, this, and this. Oh, yeah, it'll run. And they've gotten you off the hook. And you go ahead and do it. And, yeah, it'll run. Whether you want to do something today versus hitting a key and a couple hours later it responds to your demand.
Well, we saw that with Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
People with 1 gig of RAM and 1 processor, you could measure response time with a calendar.
Yeah.
And the same thing is going to be true of Windows 11.
They're just not going to change that.
Right. Just because you have the minimum to run the operating system doesn't mean you can do any actual work with it.
Really?
All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Greg from Henrietta, New York. Hi, Greg. What's up?
About Windows 11?
Yeah.
I don't want it.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't care to have it. I got 10 and I'm still learning it.
Yep. Well, and that's the other thing, isn't it? You know, people were happy with 7. They were forced into 10. They're getting happy with 10. They'll be forced into 11. Microsoft wants you on the edge of happy, but not actually happy. But yeah, I agree with you, Greg. Windows 10 is acceptable, and people are going to get used to it. And then Windows 11 will come along, and the big change, of course, will be the new UI. People hate new graphical user interfaces, and there will be uproars.
And getting it to work with other software packages, that's going to be the biggest challenge. You know, I mean, sure, the operating system might run on your machine. But, oh, what about all the other programs that are on the Windows machine that are now bricked because they don't work well with this operating system?
Right. So I'm sorry, Greg. We hijacked you. What's up?
Well, like BlueStacks and others that you got to update, and you're running your phone apps on it and all that stuff.
Yep.
You know, it's just like, you know, enough is enough. If we don't like 10, then we'll buy your other stuff. We don't need to be raped or retrained.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the other thing for businesses. You know, it's a new UI. And I don't know how many businesses still do any training whatsoever. They used to do a lot, but who knows anymore. But if you've got a new UI, you're going to have to train people on how to use it. And a lot of companies have programs that they wrote. And those programs may or may not work with Windows 11. So their programmers are going to have to install Windows 11 and see what breaks. And it's a lot of money and time and effort, particularly these days. And I don't know that this was the best time to bring out a new operating system.
Yeah, not during the middle of a pandemic when some companies are just scraping by just to make ends meet.
Although a lot of people did get new computers for working at home.
That's right. And they may well take Windows 11 with no problem, but they're still going to have to be retrained, and the programs that they use are still going to have to work. My daughter works remotely, and she runs a special package that they created, but they bought from some company to do specialized work. Does that run under Windows 11? I don't know. Do they know? Probably not.
Because usually Windows always requires you to get their seal of approval.
That's right.
Activation server again.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm sorry, Greg. We kind of hacked it. What, did you have a question there?
No, that's just what I'm saying.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Windows
that's
11.
We just wanted to make sure that, you know, we weren't shutting you out as far as asking a question.
But Greg is right. I mean, when we have something we're happy with and something is forced on us, we're automatically not happy. I mean, you take somebody like William, who, calling from Hampton, Virginia. He found out himself about Zorin, wanted to install it, wants to buy a Raspberry Pi to play around with. That's an entirely different situation than somebody who's sitting there at their machine and suddenly it's running Windows 11 on them.
Did you notice, though, Greg, on your on the Windows 10, it might pop up in the corner, upper right-hand corner. It'll say, you know, as far as installing Windows 11, and you can tell it, don't ask. You're satisfied with Windows 10 for right now?
Yes, and I said I'm satisfied.
Yeah, same here.
But I'm not interested.
Yep. Good man.
All right. Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I just want to let you know that you're a lovable local expert. And the donuts must be nice because I watched you on YouTube.
Yeah. We probably shouldn't eat them on camera and make everyone hungry.
Probably not.
Well, maybe we should get a plug. I mean, for the best donut shop in town, really.
Yeah.
I mean, the three of us, and we've been doing this for months, always go to Ridge Donuts.
Yeah.
He still makes old-fashioned donuts that are filled. Not these ones that are frozen or anything else. It's made right on premise, and we all love them.
Yeah, but you're right about Windows 11. There are a lot of people who are going to be unhappy. I'm expecting lots of phone calls about how do I uninstall. And remember, people, you only have 10 days. All right, thanks. Thanks, Greg.
All righty, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's that's going to be the big one. I didn't do it in 10 days. How do I get rid of Windows 11? The only way you get rid of it after 10 days is to wipe out your machine and reinstall 10 from some media. And if you don't have those media, then you cannot reinstall it.
And then restore your data from the backup that you made.
And you better have a backup of your data because you wiped those out as well. So, yeah, there's just a lot. People are not ready. People are simply not prepared.
I don't remember. He was
okay.
It was only 10 seconds ago.
Yeah. It was only 10 seconds.
Hey, that's a long time for me.
It is.
They're saying in the YouTube chat that it's Microsoft's trying to release it now so that you'll buy a new computer for the holidays.
There you go.
No, my excuse is that other phone number was popping up, and I wanted to make sure I didn't hit the wrong one again.
Oh, yeah. All right, our next caller is Victor. Where are you calling from, Victor?
Irondequoit,
New York. Yeah. What's up?
A couple of weeks ago, I spoke to you guys about a problem I was having with the Keyring app where I could not add a card. So I
did a lot of
digging around, and I figured it out. I went to the Keyring website, and I could manually add the card.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, nice.
No problem. So I went to my app, and the card's there, and I've used it, and everything is good.
So it did add, but you had to go to the website to add it?
Yeah, that was weird. I didn't know what else to do, so I went to the website.
No, thank you. I got to add a couple cards to mine.
Oh, you'll get the bill in the mail then, Dave.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you're allowed to charge us what we're charging you.
Yeah.
I can never repay what you guys.
Thank you.
That was the right answer, Victor.
Yes,
thank you
very much, sir.
All right. Well, thank you very much for helping me all these years.
No, thank you for
that. Yeah,
I mean,
that's great.
Like we've said for a long time, Victor, you know, that's the one thing we love about this show. You know, we provide information for you, but our listeners also turn around and give back to us, and it's just passed around. We're like one big community.
Well, I'm glad I could help, and hopefully I help somebody else if they had the same problem.
There you go.
Yep, that's what we like to do. Thanks, Victor.
Take care, my friend.
Hey, goodbye.
That's one of the hidden secrets of tech support is you've probably seen that before.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how you can fix it.
And if you haven't, somebody else has.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, yeah, listen, if you've got, for those of you who don't know, there are key rings where you can put your various cards, credit cards.
Little and fob cards that normally you'd go up and
the loyalty cards, all of that stuff.
Rite Aid, Lowe's, or whatever.
Right. So pretty much any place that you can tap to pay,
yep,
you can use your phone. I just set up my wife to do that. She's like a kid in a candy store now. I think she just likes shopping.
Well, the Wegmans
has... Let's go here. They can tap to pay. Okay.
Yeah, the Wegmans has their little card and tops and all those other things. Instead of having a keychain...
The loyalty cards.
Yeah, full of those. You can just put it on one app. And that's what... I've used it for years.
The Apple Wallet works that way on the iPhones.
The other thing, though, you got to remember, if you put the app on, is register it. And it's just a matter of going on there, signing on, and registering your email with a password. Because this way, if you switch phones,
right,
and you download the app again, you just go ahead and log in, and it downloads all your cards that you had previously.
Right. I'm using Google Pay that way. Google Pay does the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it because it's hooked to my login on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
When I change phones, hopefully next week, when I change phones, I'll have a new...
I'm anxious to see the 5A, because that's supposed to be a little bit bigger...
A little bit bigger.
A little bit bigger screen?
Yeah. Bigger battery. It doesn't have... it. You know, I don't have the 120 hertz and all the other stuff, but you know what? I don't use any of that, and I want... Because I have hearing aids that do not connect to my phone... I thought they did, but they do not. I don't want Bluetooth connectivity. I want a jack. I want a headphone jack.
Yeah.
And the 6 doesn't have one, and the 5A does. So there we are.
Heck yeah.
I'm very much looking forward to getting my 5A next week.
Well, like I say, the biggest thing, though, is the battery life.
Yeah.
And more and more phone company manufacturers should get, you know, wind of that, because, you know, adding another camera onto it or another lens so you can, you know, take wide angle pictures and all this other stuff. Granted, my phone takes better pictures than my old camera used to.
Right.
I'll give you that. But the thing of it is, though, for the most part, I don't use it a lot for that. It's mainly for the phone or texting.
Yes, because you're old.
You're old.
Yeah, but...
How many millions of photos are taken every day on a phone?
My daughter is of the generation that uses her phone for everything.
Mm-hmm.
She will grab her phone before she'll go to the computer. She'll grab her phone before she'll go to her laptop or a tablet. It's all on the phone. I don't understand the tablet market. It's not as convenient as a phone. It's not as... big a screen and doesn't have a keyboard like a laptop or a desktop, and yet they buy billions of them.
It's not as heavy as the laptop. It's easier to carry out. We often call it the living room computer.
Maybe. Yeah, okay, I see that.
But then I put a keyboard on it, and it's almost as heavy.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess I'm just showing my age. And
believe me, we all see it.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I'm glad it's just not me looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
But no, I just get so discouraged. You know, you look around, and as you know, because I drive for a living now, and driving around, and you see everybody with their face down into their phone. They're walking around. They're not looking up or talking to other folks. You go to restaurants and everything else, and like I said, I've seen families sitting there, you know, having dinner, and all of them are buried into their phone. It's like we've forgotten how to talk amongst each other. And just be social with other people.
I don't like my family.
Yeah, why would I want to talk to them? There was just this week, there was a bicycle race, and some woman on her phone walked out into the raceway and got run over by a guy on a bicycle because he had his head down, he was pumping for the finish line.
Yeah.
Why would you expect someone in the middle of your raceway?
Yeah.
But this woman was on her phone, just wandered out in the middle of the raceway, staring at her phone.
Well, they do it while they're driving, too.
Oh,
that's
yes.
The other part, scary part. You see, I've seen them, you know, we've gotten, with our company, we sit there and tell everybody, 10 seconds. And I mean, I've had more folks, the light changes, and all of a sudden they're hitting the horn on me. I don't care, because sure as God made green apples... light turns green, and somebody else is still running through on that cautionary red yellow.
Yep.
Because they got the right. They're in a hurry, and they got to get to where they're going. Too bad on you.
This is Rochester, New York. Red means you should probably stop. Green means you own the entire city. And yellow means speed up.
The pictures of the bicycle accident, the look of horror on his face as she jumps in front of, or just walking in front of him. And apparently she noticed it the last second, too, because she's looking at him, and it's just...
Yeah. I was on RIT's campus one day driving to park, and this kid on a bicycle coming right at me, staring at a young lady walking along. I stopped my car. He wasn't going fast, but he was watching her on the side of the road, not where he was going. I stopped the car, put it in park, stepped out of my car, and he hit me.
Jeez.
Get out.
And
what are you doing backing up into me?
No, he was in front of me. He was coming in the wrong side of the road and everything. Coming right at me, hit me, looked up, saw that I was standing there and the car was parked. And he was going slow enough that there wasn't any real damage to the car. And I didn't care what it did to his bike. And he knew it was his fault. He absolutely understood that. Got sheepish, picked his bike up, walked over, left me alone. I got back in my car and parked. Walked back over and asked him if he was okay. He said, look, it's my fault. Entirely my fault. But he was much more interested in her than in where he was going.
It was a 54-mile race, and he's pumping the last few feet to the finish line.
And of course, his head is down.
Yeah.
He's into it.
After 54 miles, you don't even get to finish the race.
I've seen that happen on Park Ave.
Yeah.
We were sitting one time, a group of us were up on Park Ave and sitting there having coffee. And this one lady gets out, you know, backs in right near where we're sitting, the outside seating, flings her door open, doesn't even look, and this bicyclist is coming along and goes right into his door.
Yep.
Boom, down he goes, and all over the place. Because Park Ave's not that wide.
Not that wide.
And she just swung the door open, not even paying attention.
I was at a stoplight once driving, and my daughter was with me. She starts pounding me in the arm going, look, look, look. We look over. There's a woman walking. She's on her phone, not looking where she's going, right into a light pole. Down on her butt.
Mm-hmm.
No idea what happened. No idea what happened.
Well, then I see people rebutting that. Well, why didn't you warn her or something?
Well, it was she was way over there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, could have beeped. She wouldn't have cared. She wouldn't have looked.
Yeah,
there's nothing I could have done about it.
No, it's.
I've read. Was it New York City? I think they were trying to propose that every phone be required to have a see-through thing. So whatever you're looking at on screen, you'll still be able to see the sidewalk in front of you.
Yeah. Like a heads up.
Yeah,
a heads up display. Because you got a camera on the back, you might as well use it.
Yeah.
Or you get the science fiction, the see-through phones.
Yeah. I saw the neatest Halloween costume a couple of years ago where he had tablets on his chest and on his back. And then the one on his back, he had a rear camera. And the one on his front, he had the front camera. So you could see right through him. Somebody could wave their hand behind his back and
nice.
You would see it in front of him. It was
cool.
Really good.
That's
like,
really
like
nice.
Giant hole in his chest.
Yeah. Very nice. The thing that we don't really realize yet is how deeply people are invested in their phones, and it's a genuine issue, and I don't know if it's a problem.
Well, yeah, it is, because a number of insurance companies.
Yeah.
Now, if you're involved in an accident, they will check your phone whether you were on the phone or not.
That happened to the woman who hit my daughter.
Yeah.
My daughter got T-boned. She had this woman blew through a stop sign from a side street, and she was she was on a side street, a T intersection, and she was going fast enough to total my daughter's car. I don't understand how you even do that.
Yeah, not.
But she did, and she was on her phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My daughter paid zero.
Well,
her insurance didn't even go up.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, because in the insurance companies are doing that because, you know, folks say, well, they hit me. Well, maybe if you weren't on your phone, you wouldn't have run through that red light and gotten hit.
Yep.
Now, the next step is the glasses, heads-up display. Google Glass didn't work out.
Right.
But maybe someone will solve
Facebook
that.
Facebook is putting one out.
Yeah. And then in all the science fiction novels, the next step is an implant where you actually see an overlay in your vision.
Right.
And information about the people pop up and, you know, this is John. He's got, you know, wife and three kids. You know, his wife is
Oh, what was that program that guy... There was a program he could sit there and scan people and know.
I don't know. But there have been several. But yeah, I do wish that there were, you know, somebody whispering in my ear or a face thing that told me people's names.
Jarvis.
I don't remember names. But yeah, the reality is that there's just no we're not designed to multitask in dangerous situations. And I don't care how long you've been driving. Driving a car is a dangerous situation. And we're just not, you know, I don't see that being I mean, how many people turn down their radio so they can see where to turn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Read a map or do directions.
Right. Right. So, yeah, one of the things I love most about my car is that there's a cup holder right at the shoulder level on the left, and so I can put a cup thing in there and put my phone in it. It's like a heads-up display. All right, that music tells me, and in fact tells all of us, that we are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I especially want to thank everybody who pledged over the last few weeks. We are so, so grateful that we can stay on the air for another 6 months, and that's all on you. So thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you who was kind and generous enough to become a member. And I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Yes, that would be Soundbites, right here on the Truly Great and Truly Grateful. I can't say it enough. We're so honored. So grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 hours. Be good to one another.
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District.